We hear from John chapter 18. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, the early morning hours of Good Friday, the day Jesus was crucified, do not seem at first glance to fit well with Advent. We've started Advent this week hearing about the coming of Jesus to this world of misery. We're getting ready for Christmas, for singing "Joy to the World," "Silent Night," "Away in a Manger." And yet here we are with this text from the final chapters of John's Gospel, and we are now well into the night of the arrest of Jesus, him being mocked and spit upon by soldiers, being led from one court to another, and ending up here at the Praetorium, standing before the representative of the greatest empire in the world. Pilate knows kings, and Pilate knows kingdoms, but he doesn't know Jesus. So he asks, "Are you the king of the Jews?" In many congregations this past Sunday, the gospel reading was from Matthew chapter 21, the text that we'll be hearing tomorrow here in chapel. On that day, we are told that Jesus rode into Jerusalem with shouts of "Hosanna to the Son of David." Son of David is an Old Testament term for royalty, and Jesus is in the line of royalty, the king of the Jews. Years earlier, the wise men from the east, just months after Jesus was born, had traveled to ask where they could find the newborn king of the Jews, much to King Herod's dismay. There is a kingliness to Jesus. And Jesus does not deny being a king when he stands there before Pilate, but he must disabuse Pilate of any thoughts of Jesus being a king seeking or claiming a worldly kingdom. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not from here." Now, one might think that such clear statements by Jesus regarding his kingdom and where it is not from would prevent people from claiming a Christian kingdom for Jesus, hoping to see a worldly government with Jesus and his truth as the sure foundation of a blessed society filled with harmony, charity, and peace. If you think the clear words of Scripture, the clear words of Jesus himself, would prevent such thinking, then you need read only a little history of Christianity to see how naive such a thought is. But people like Jesus, but often he is liked for reasons that have little or nothing to do with the purpose of his first advent, his first coming to this world. The kingdom of Jesus is the kingdom of grace. It is not a kingdom of worldly power. As one theologian wrote a few years ago, the church has only one divinely assigned task, to build herself up in faith and love, embracing more and more of fallen humanity to the praise and glory of God by and for the transmission of forgiveness, life, and salvation through the Holy Gospel and the sacraments of Christ. Such an understanding of the kingdom of Jesus, centered on word and sacrament, is the conclusion drawn from the work of Jesus during his life here on earth. What did Jesus do? He proclaimed the gospel, the mercy of God. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He instituted the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion. He did what Isaiah the prophet had foretold he would do 7 centuries earlier. And what was the result of all that for Jesus now? Well, look at where he ends up here in chapter 18 of John. He's on trial for his life, accused of committing a crime, blasphemy, that some demand deserves the death penalty, death by crucifixion. Jesus is there because this is the penultimate moment of his life, his mission, his work of salvation. He is there before Pilate because that is the way to the cross, the way Jesus knows he must go. He must go that way and only that way because that is the way your salvation and my salvation lie. There's no turning back from the cross. Jesus must go. And he desires to go. That is what his kingdom is about. That is how it was established by his death and by his resurrection. You and I are part of fallen humanity. We are totally surrounded by fallen humanity. Wherever there are people, there you find fallen humanity, idolaters, apostates, those hurting neighbors in every conceivable and inconceivable way. To address that fallen condition of us all is why Jesus was born in Bethlehem. That's why Jesus was standing before Pilate. Yes, he is a king, but a king of truth. The truth of God shining in the life of Jesus, the Son of God. Earlier in his ministry, Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And he reiterates that same statement now to Pilate by saying, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my words." Jesus is truth. Jesus' word is truth. Truth that brings freedom. Many receive that word by faith, trusting Jesus, believing that he is the King of grace, mercy, forgiveness, eternal life. Others hear that word and are scandalized by such a claim to the truth. Like Pilate, they may simply ask, "What is truth?" Well, Jesus, the King, came to this fallen world to bring what this world needs, the way out of death by forgiving our sin. And Jesus wants all of you, he wants this world full of people to know this truth about him. It is not a truth for a few, it is a truth for all, for you. In him is life forever. In him is mercy free. In him is compassion for the lost, the lonely. This is our King with a kingdom that will never end. I lay in fetters groaning, thou comest to set me free. I stood my shame bemoaning, thou comest to honor me. A glory thou dost give me, a treasure safe on high, that will not fail or leave me as earthly riches fly. Amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may rise, and please turn to the front pages of your hymnary, page 147, and there on the left-hand column you'll find collect number 1 for this week of Advent, and let us join in praying this together. Stir up, we beseech you, your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins, and be saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.